It'll be first and 25.
This is First and 25, the Football Zebras podcast. Our 25-minute look into the world of officiating, and this is the Super Bowl edition. Also, we've got a break coming up of 178 days and counting. Super Bowl 59 is in the books. We had a crew that was unlike any other we've had before. A lot of a couple of third-year officials, not very much prior experience in the Super Bowl. So we'll just start with that, with the level of experience going into the game. We mentioned that here on the podcast. We spoke about it, but once toe met ball at the beginning of the game, that all seemed to go away.
So, yeah, again, when we flash back to the day when the assignments came out, it was kind of a surprise as to, you know, who got the call. But when you take a look at the total number of previous Super Bowls worked collectively amongst the crew, that number was the lowest it's been since Super Bowl 51. So we've seen a lot of really, in terms of Super Bowl assignments, past Super Bowl assignments, we've had a lot of experience in prior years. It's been a while since we've seen one this low, and obviously, yes, the three-year officials will bring that average down. Luckily, it's funny that we say, we were just mentioning just before we started recording that the 2 3-year officials did really well. And I can even say, I'll go a step further and say umpire Mike Morton did a wonderful job. I had given him some credit in our recaps from the game, and the only real hiccup in the game came from not only the crew's most experienced official and not only the league's most experienced this year, but of all time game-wise. So it comes down to, you know, preparation and all the stuff that they say, you know, that we know that that's not really something that we're going to gauge. We call it I know, Ben, you coined the term the McNally commandment to make sure that those Super Bowl officials get 5 years in to make sure that they're fully ready. But luckily for everyone, those newer officials didn't really have any major hiccups that we're talking about now.
And the word commandment, that, you know, was one that I had chosen not by accident, because it did seem like it was something carved in stone tablets brought down from on high. There shall be officials 5 years or no less in the Super Bowl. And so then when we were starting to get some word that, as it was originally said to me, there's going to be some surprises. And despite that, we put out our predictions and who we thought was going to make the Super Bowl based on prior years, but all of those rules went out. So we got all the deep officials correct, but it was a lot of mixing around in the other side of the field. So let me take it to the first quarter, Chris, and right off the bat, we have pass interference.
Yeah, and everyone watching this game, of course, knew the underlying story of, oh, the officials favor the Chiefs. So we were all praying that the first quote-unquote missed call would not go against Philadelphia, and it did. Now, as we were discussing the play, you know, we went into it and said, was there enough there for a foul? And clearly everyone on our side of the board said, no, there was not enough there for a foul. Now, what we think kind of drew the eye of Boris was the hand to the face mask. And, you know, everyone in the game is trying to do their best job, right? So they're looking for any of these indicators, and the indicator was there. It just wasn't there long enough. There wasn't any sort of grasp to the face mask. So I think everyone agreed. I think even the pundits on TV and Mike Pereira obviously agreed. This was not a foul. And the game could have gone one of two ways. It could have gone where, you know, foul after foul went against Philadelphia, and the same storyline pops up of the Chiefs get all the call and win the game. Fortunately, that did not happen. And all of our recaps, I think we said that, where the crew really readjusted themselves after that point, and I think got the major players. Now, some might disagree. Some of the unnecessary roughness calls may have been close. But ultimately, in the end, I don't think there was really another egregious missed call during the entire game. And kudos to the officials for that, because it could have gone completely off the rails from the get-go, and thankfully it did.
Pat, yeah, there were some unnecessary roughness calls. Some of them, yeah, debatable, arguable, but it seems like the game was under control.
Yeah, you know, anytime you're in a big game, no one really wants to see a lot of fouls just in general. You know, the old adage of let the players play. That doesn't mean that there shouldn't be fouls called. And I think for the most part, you could argue some of the unnecessary roughness calls, but they were there, in my opinion. The one on the long third down for the Eagles that gave him the first down. Some might say it's a soft hit, but the ball was clearly past Barkley and everyone's letting up. The defender takes 2-3 steps and puts a hard shoulder in his back. I mean, you might say it's soft, but I think that's a call that has to be made.
Mark, let's take a look at that play, and let's say that there's no flag thrown. So you have this situation where a team is desperately trying to come back and probably getting a little bit rough around the edges and trying to push the boundaries a little bit, trying to get that edge to get back in the game. Do you see that flag also helps control a potential comeback where there might be that hit and now there's going to be a corresponding hit later on in the game?
Oh, absolutely. If that flag would have not been thrown, the Eagles were going to say, oh, so that's how we're going to play today. And the roughness would have been ratcheted up. And, you know, you could say, oh, well, it wasn't that big of a hit. Well, it was rough. And it was a good call to say, no, we're not going to start pushing the envelope here. We're not going to play till the, you know, we're not going to hit until the final echo of the whistle. We're going to keep it straight. We're going to keep it fair. And we're going to keep it within the bounds of sportsmanship. And I think I commented on the live blog, it was unnecessary and it was rough. And that's the name of the foul.
And I just generally, I mean, you're looking at a couple of situations where Kansas City is uncharacteristically getting unglued. They're not in the position that they've been in years, where they are down by a significant amount. And again, it comes back to some of the more desperate calls. So let me throw this to you, Cam. We saw probably a lot of offensive holding called, again, knowing that they were getting to Mahomes. So let's get into the locker room at halftime. Extra long halftime for the officials. Is that something that they're huddling up and saying, you know, they're going to need to protect Mahomes more. We have to be extra attentive to offensive holding.
Absolutely, because in that regard, you're using situational awareness in a way to, you know, adapt to what the game is giving you, because you can only really officiate based on what the game is presenting, how it's presenting itself. And yes, I completely agree. There were, I'm not sure of the exact number that were called, but I know there were a handful that were there on a lot of KC offensive linemen. And yeah, definitely when Mahomes is doing his magic in the backfield, trying to escape and run around and scramble and does all the stuff he does, he only has so long. And if the offensive line wants to extend that time, the officiating crew's got to be on that. There was, I believe I had remarked internally on the pick six in the second quarter, there was a huge hold on, I believe it was 74. I'm not sure what his name is, but huge hold there that wasn't called and eventually was kind of inconsequential because of the pick six. But absolutely, when you're in there for your halftime conference and you're just going over what you saw in the first half, that's absolutely a point of concern that you should raise to kind of make sure, you know, if they're going to start being desperate, they're going to start holding.
And to Pat's point earlier, where everyone doesn't want to watch this game for flags, I'm sure part of the discussion was also make sure if the hold is there, it affects the play, right? Because again, going back to the old adage, you can call holding on every play. And the fact that Mahomes was getting knocked down literally every play really does mean the holding wasn't doing anything because Philly was still getting home to Mahomes. So, you know, Mark and I were kind of going back and forth, just like you, Cam, where it's like, ooh, like on the pick six, it's like there looked like there was a hold there. And there may have been a few that were like should have maybe been called. But there certainly were some that were called that affected the play. I can think of one where Mahomes slipped right by the lineman. You can see a big grab of the jersey and a big grab of the shoulder pad where it's like, yep, that's the point of attack. Exactly when a flag should be thrown, and it was. So I think that halftime discussion between the officials really locked them in to identify the holds that mattered versus just every other hold.
And that's the key, because I just went, while you were talking, Chris, I just went to go back and look at the stat line. There were two holding fouls called against Kansas City. And it speaks completely to your point, you know, is there an impact on the play? You know, if it's a backside hold in the Super Bowl of all games, we're not going to see something like that. So yeah, definitely. Just wanted to get that number out there. But totally to your point, Chris, it's got to have an impact on the play. And as the game goes on, like I said before, if they're getting more desperate, there's more of a chance. So you need to have a heightened awareness.
And I think I counted a third one being the one which was on the interception. And I don't know if that was a situation where once that ball was released, that there was, you know, maybe he couldn't have gotten there at time or what the situation was. But yeah, at that particular point, you're definitely looking at, well, in this stage of the game, you're two significant holds, and both of them picked up by an umpire that actually has game experience. He's been in a Super Bowl before, not as an official. And so now, 2 years in a row, Mark, we have an umpire who's been on the field in a Super Bowl, but in a player's uniform.
That's right. And I had to think, Terry Killens last year and Mike Morton this year, two players that have probably been held at the point of attack in an NFL game. So these two officials know what they're doing. Kudos to them for being able to rise up through the ranks of officiating, starting at the peewee level and through the eighth grade and the high school level and the small college and the major college, to stick with it. Their NFL dream is realized. And Morton is 52 years old, so it's not like he retired at age 31, and by age 35, he was in the NFL. He worked his way up, and good for him.
And we even saw some pictures online before the kickoff, which Morton's working with Natron Means. That's a name that goes way back for NFL fans. They were officiating high school football. There was not a fast track. They initially had something called fast track officiating to bring some of these veterans in. I think after a year, they said, you know what, that's not a good thing to be projecting. We need to have officials pay their dues. Yes, they were on the field, but they still have to work their way up the pipeline. Just anything else on this particular game? I left you out, Pat. Let's just kind of like look at the experience. I mean, it just really didn't show at all in this game.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about working your way up and paying the dues and all that good stuff, by the time these guys get to the NFL, they have so many years and years of games. And, you know, it's definitely a different step, you know, getting to used to the speed of a new level. But at the end of the day, I think we all want the best officials working the biggest games. And if that means you're a third-year guy or a 10-year guy or a 20-year guy, whoever's the best guy, put him in the game. Because at the end of the day, once football goes, I mean, it's a big game is a big game, but once football goes to ball, it's just a football game.
And with the time that we have remaining, we've pretty much covered a Super Bowl, but we have now put a close on the 2024 season. We have the Hall of Fame game July 31st, so it's going to be a shorter offseason by just a couple of days than usual. But let's just take a look at what we saw this season, what we might expect to see next season, any kind of adjustments. And I'll start with you, Mark.
Well, it was good to see the traditional mechanics come back this year. There was no move with purpose. I was glad to see the traditional mechanics come back. I think the revised or the modified kickoff is here to stay. Maybe they might say, since Kansas City couldn't onside kick in the third quarter, they may modify it and say you can onside kick whenever you want to. You still can't do a surprise onside, but you can onside kick whenever you want to. I don't think they're going to completely reinvent the wheel when it comes to rules and during the off season. The hip drop tackle, at least calling it by the officials, turned into a nothing burger, so that was good. And also, we haven't had a whole lot of retirement announcements. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of turnover on the officiating roster this year, he said.
Yeah, that was pretty quiet so far. So we shall see. Your impressions of 2024 and where we're going in 2025, Cam?
As the years go on, you tend to see the magnitude of not controversy, but focus, spotlight increases. Seems to be year after year, it gets increasingly higher. One thing that I wanted to touch on that I wonder if the competition committee is going to take a look at next season, because it came up in a good handful of games this year. And I think it was on Friday, just prior to the Super Bowl, I heard a Radio Row interview. Mike Pereira was on with a local Boston sports talk radio, and they were talking about sliding quarterbacks and late sliding quarterbacks, and you know how you can officiate a hit when a slide is late. In that interview, he really spoke to he was praising the how he wants a sky judge. He's gonna fight till the day he dies. But they were talking about hits on sliding quarterbacks, but those slides themselves are late. So again, I don't know if there's gonna be a lot of headway with stuff like that, because again, you can change a rule for any variety of reasons. Competitive advantage, player safety is obviously the first and foremost. But if it's difficult to officiate, then it's really kind of what's the point in that regard? But they were discussing that, and there's a YouTube clip. We can put it in our podcast page for this site if you guys want to. But they were discussing that, and I'm interested to see if there's going to be any sort of modification, tweak, or even if it's not a rule change, just a margin note about something like that, because sometimes it's really hard for defenders to lay off if they've committed and the slide comes in really late, and you've got these fans across the country on social media, they're going to always call this, they're going to give this call to Mahomes, or they're always going to give this call to whoever. And you know, sometimes if those quarterbacks are trying to bait a flag, I feel like it's something that deserves at least a look. So it's just something fresh in my mind that we might see something different in 2025. We might not. But it was a point of contention that I heard at the end of last week, and I thought it would be something interesting to bring up.
It tends to get conflated because it's a hit on a quarterback. But the way the rule is written in those specific situations, it's hits on a runner. But it tends to be that the quarterback is the one that, to quote Cam Newton, the one that makes a business decision. And so they might thread that line a little bit and maybe hope that they get a soft flag because, yeah, there was head contact. And maybe that's something that the competition committee looks at and says, we need to give more instruction to the defense as to what they can do. Either we want you to lead with the hands, and if the hands wind up touching the helmet, okay, that's fine. That's not forcible, but you've led with the hands, not the shoulder, not the forearm, not the helmet. And I think that's probably what the key is there. Pat, your thoughts last this season and the upcoming offseason?
Yeah, for me, I think the big one is replay assist. I know it's been around for a couple of years, but I think this is the first year they really kind of lean into it on the field and making it overt and clear who was changing some of the rulings. I know in the years past, it was kind of more after communication, but this year the White Hats would say after replay assist. So just kind of seeing where that goes in the future. I know there's already talk of expansion for, you know, potential face masks and things like that. But I thought for the most part, it worked pretty well this year. And it'll be interesting to see if they expand and where they expand to coming up.
Chris, what do you got?
Pat, you stole my thunder. I am a big replay assist fan as well. I thought it was great that they implemented it and they fixed the calls that needed to be fixed quickly. And it'll be interesting to see because, like you said, Pat, early in the season, it was we need to start reviewing all these face mask calls. And that's one where it is kind of definitive where did they have a grab and a hold of the face mask or not. It's not like necessarily a holding penalty. But that did kind of simmer down a little bit like most other things do. So I am interested to see what the competition committee comes up with as far as how to change things, whether they're going to address, again, the kickoff and maybe move the touchback up another 5 yards to try to get more of a dynamic, again, the dynamic kickoff, more dynamic. But yeah, I think the expansion of replay judiciously is going to happen and continue. And the transparency from the White Hats when they announce, hey, we made this decision because replay told us to, I think that goes a long way to getting around the conspiracy theorists that are out there of, hey, they're trying to fix the games, when everyone can see clearly from video. If replay comes in with that information and bangs it out and fixes a call, that's, I think, a win for everyone. And I think it'll be continued to be looked at next year as well.
Well, and that goes back to the drumbeat of having Guy Judge or whatever name you want to append to it. I think that the competition committee saw that there was a compromise that had to be struck, not to put in a Sky Judge, but to have somebody come in and make these little micro fixes. Hey, this is where we see the spot down. And you have that window between 40 seconds and 20 seconds on the play clock to get it in. If you cannot get it in, we have to do some super analysis to figure that out. Then you're going to have to pass on that, let the coach challenge that. I'm sure the coach is like that because I don't have the data, but I'm sure coaches' challenges have gone down significantly since replay assist has been implemented.
I think for as much as we harp on the NFL too, I have noticed in all other sports, their replays get longer and longer. Whether it's the NBA, whether it's college basketball, whether it's college softball, whatever, their replays have gotten to be excruciating. And the NFL doing a really good job of going the other way and understanding that we're not sitting there to watch replays. We're there to watch the game. So kudos to them, I think, for that, where they are actually focusing on the right thing when it comes to replays.
One last note from 2024 that I'd like to end on. A good friend of our website, someone who is helped us out, has mentored hundreds of officials. Jim Tunney, the Dean of Officials, the Dean of Referees, 31 years on the field and then countless years after that. We lost him in December. We were just talking the last time we interviewed him. I told him that he was the last person to officiate a game the weekend JFK was assassinated, and those are those games that were not televised and all that, a whole unusual atmosphere. And I said, let's talk about that sometime and make that a podcast or something of that nature. And that interview never occurred. And my gosh, he had so many stories to tell about Burl Toler, the first black official in pro sports, and so many other things. And it's just a tremendous institutional loss. And Jim, we're going to miss you. So on that, we end the 2024 season and another podcast of the First and 25. Mark Schultz, Cam Philippe, Chris Soiber, Pat Weber, thank you very much, gentlemen. It's been interesting this year. I've learned a lot. And we'll catch you next time on the First and 25 podcast.
A 15-yard penalty, personal foul.
Number 82, after the play was over, it'll be First and 25.